Hello again. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. Welcome back. Nice to have you with us. You can find all the details for this and any of our shows at tastingroomradio.com, which can be found at mulliganstew.ca. Within mulliganstew.ca is the Mulligan Stew Radio Show and the Mulligan Stew Podcast. I was just looking ahead here as to who's coming up in the next couple of weeks. I attempted a Zoom interview with the winemakers at Yalumba in the Barossa Valley, along with myself and half a dozen other wine journalists. I'm going to go back and see if I can actually make sense of it. It was a long, glorious tasting. So anyway, Yalumba, one way or another, we're going to get there. There's a new five winery collective in the Okanagan called Grand Crew, C-R-E-W, and we're going to be talking to them. That includes Black Market Wine Co., Nagging Doubt Winery, Niche Wine, Tender Hope Winery, and Winemaker's Cut. We're going to go back and revisit our friends at Birch Block in the Okanagan, and we're seeing if we can find Charles Smith from K Wines, Charles Smith Wines in Walla Walla. Now, as for this show, two really good friends, Sandra Ofield, who, of course, was the original winemaker and co-owner of Tin Horn Creek on the Golden Mile. She has reconfigured herself with a new company called Elysian Projects. She's a wine consultant, is what she is now. And she has a lot of things on her mind. Basically, she's going to be talking about the women of BC Wine. Many of them are friends. She admires them all. And we'll get as many names as we can into a two-part interview. The second half of the show is a two-part interview with Jeff Hundertmark, who I met in the Niagara region and then moved to the Okanagan, and it's a great success story. He's making the wines and overseeing the wines at Ma Boucherie, Rust Wine Co., Modest Wines. So, Jeff Hundertmark, Sandra Ofield, on this edition of Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13 on the Golden Mile. Right now, you can get a taste of Chenin Heaven. Did you know that the Chenin Blanc vines at Road 13 on the Golden Mile are some of the oldest Chenin vines in North America? Do enjoy the fun of working your way through the 2016 Sparkling Chenin Blanc and the 2019 Chip Off the Old Block Chenin Blanc. And for those of you who couldn't get to the August 15th winemaker's dinner at Road 13, just know that the Fall Wine Festival dinner with Backyard Farm takes place October the 3rd and again on October the 10th. Road13vineyards.com. Road 13, it's all about the dirt. Tasting Room Radio, Terry David Mulligan, in the Okanagan Valley, looking down on the vast estate that is her being. Sandra Ofield, Elysian Projects. Sandra, hello.
How are you?
Oh, swell. And you? You're everybody healthy?
Yeah, very, very good.
Okay. I thought I saw something go by on the internet web machine very quickly that you had announced some sort of new project you were working on. What's new?
We're in our third year of putting on a business conference for the distillers and brewers and wineries of BC. That's called Fortify. Yeah, we're going virtual this year, so that'll be great.
And have you set a time for that?
Yeah, November 24th.
Thank you. Now, I always ask you, I begin our dialogue away from these microphones and phones about, you know, I frankly say, what's pissing you off? What's got your attention? What do you want to talk about? And you immediately wrote back and said, I want to talk about the dames of the Okanagan, the dames, the female owners, principals, winemakers, in some cases growers, working around you that you would like to spotlight.
Well, I mean, I think for me, certainly I'm identified with female people for whatever reason. They've been the ones who've contacted me more than others to, you know, seek help during COVID or post, you know, post opening of COVID. And yeah, I mean, I think there's a unique place for them to get help. And I also feel that they're probably the ones that are driving the industry to be a better place to work in.
Wonderful. And when when did you first come up from California? What year?
1995.
95.
And today actually is my husband's and my 25th anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. 25 years. Wow. That's fantastic. 95, how many women of profile were working around you in 1995 in the Okanagan?
There were quite a few. I'd say out of the 30, or there's about 28 or so wineries, and I'd say 8 or 9 of them at the time had women winemakers. And I was impressed by that, because it was something like close to a third, and that was way higher than the rest of the world. Although I will have to say, as the years have gone on, you know, that percentage has gone down just because the numbers of wineries have increased faster. I think there's always been a lot of wineries with female winemakers, but a little bit harder sometimes to find wineries that are hiring women as their GM or as their CFOs or to sit on their boards and things like that. I think that's the area that's lacking a bit.
Okay. By the way, just I had this thought way back when we first started in 2007 with Tasting Room. One of the first things I remember the first female winemaker that I interviewed saying was, you know, women are better tasters than men. Their whole quality of body, mind, soul, everything is kind of built better than men for wine. I didn't know what to make of that, but I certainly, as I went along, I realized that some of the wines that I really, really, really liked were made by females. So has that been shot down? Has that been fortified? What do we know about that?
You know, if you're going to judge a winemaker by the wines they make, then I think there's as many good female and as male and vice versa winemakers.
Exactly.
But, you know, a winemaker, again, includes a lot of things that go on behind the scenes that you don't see. And again, that has to do with the holistic way of running the cellar and running the people around them and all the rest. And there I would say that a lot of the females that I've come in contact with have an edge over that holistic side of running that area. But, you know, from a taste perspective, I would not think there's a big difference.
And let's either support or shoot down one more theory, and that is that you can tell what kind of person made the wines by tasting and smelling it.
Yeah, I've never heard that, but I have definitely heard that, you know, more difficult years sometimes make for better wines because the winemaker stressed a little bit more, but, you know, I don't feel like I can taste any of that in wine, so yeah.
All right. So let's see how many we can fit in this segment. First of all is Rhea and Trent at Kitsch Wines.
Yeah, Rhea runs Kitsch, and I love Kitsch Wines. They're really fresh. They're from East Kelowna. You know, they focus on Rieslings and Pinot Noir, a little bit of bubble, which I think is exactly what should be grown in East Kelowna. And my favorite wines there are their Rieslings, for sure. But, you know, Rhea is just a powerhouse and wildly innovative. And, you know, she brings that new vibe to the to the industry that I think we all need, because it was getting a little stodgy for a bit.
That's a kind word, stodgy.
I was trying to be kind.
Yeah, that's very nice. And all right. And I agree with you on the Rieslings. Wonderful. Just wonderful. Joanna Schlosser at Niche and Grand Cru Collective.
Yes, that's right. So Joanna at Niche, I mean, she's another marketing guru. She and her husband run Niche. Niche is so tiny, they don't even have a tasting room yet. So everything they sell has been online. And I've been really amazed by the way that they've kind of rewritten how to sell wine online as a small winery. And they know a lot more things than a lot of big wineries do, that's for sure. And so for me, Joanna, again, she feels like she's just learning, but she really knows so much. And she has so much to teach everybody about direct-to-consumer online. If I had to pick a wine of theirs that is my favorite, it's probably sold out now, but it would be their Unfiltered Pinot Noir.
Oh, absolutely. Totally. Without fail.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Really good.
By the way, online, the sales have literally kept many of these small wineries' heads above water over these past 6 months.
Absolutely. I mean, some were able to just delve into it because they were already in that playing field. But, you know, some pivoted pretty quick, and then and some are getting into it more now. So either way, it'll have big changes for the industry in the future.
Therapy Vineyards on the Naramata Bench.
Well, this will be a female winemaker. This is Jack Kemp. She is pretty awesome. Years ago, she actually worked for me in the cellar at Tin Hern Creek when I was a winemaker. And she is really a great, great winemaker, I think. One of the best in Naramata. And super good-hearted as well. So, you know, for me, it's always about the whole package is the wines and the people. And I tend to rate them equal, whereas most people just look at the wines, right?
She's one of those, yet another Lincoln grad who's shown up in the Okanagan.
That's right. Yeah. And really not overly boisterous, you know, not wildly conceited or anything, very humble. And unfortunately, I find women are that way more than they should be. But that being said, I think wines like her superego there, which are her big blend, I mean, they speak well for her.
Very well. Hillside, the one and only Kathy Malone, who was just on the show last week.
That's right. And, you know, what's interesting about Hillside is they actually have a female GM there as well, Lana. And, you know, I've gotten to know quite a bit of the people at Hillside since I left Tin Hern Creek. And, you know, their wine club manager used to manage the wine club at Tin Hern Creek. I've even gotten to know their landscaper. You know, they're all women. And it seems like, you know, every time I go there, I'm surrounded by pretty powerful women. But Kathy Malone, for sure, who's been there as, you know, kind of an anchor point, I think, for Hillside for so many years. And she, you know, she still is just really one of the most lovely people in the wine industry and makes a pretty dang good Pinot Gris, I would say, this year. One of my favorites. I'm also a wine club member.
Yep.
And wine club members get access to their Cab Franc, which is pretty good.
It is killer, killer Cab Franc. Unbelievable, yeah. Cab Franc. And I agree with the Pinot Gris because you can get very plain, ho-hum Pinot Gris in the Okanagan, not at Hillside.
Yep. Now, yeah, no, I love, there's a bunch of Pinot Gris that I like on the Naramata Bench, and Hillside's is one of them for sure.
She is Sandra Ofield from Elysium Projects, but we all know and love her work at Tin Hern Creek as one of the co-owners and the winemaker, making over the years incredible wines. When she moved here in 1995, she made BC wine so much better. When we come back, Sandra is going to give us some background on some of her favorite female winemakers. Severine at Le Vieux-Pin, Marilyn Venturi, Venturi Schulze, Val Tate, Penelope Roche, One Mill Road, Cynthia Enns, and any others we can fit in. This is Tasting Room Radio. We'll be right back. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13 on the Golden Mile. Right now, you can get a taste of Chenin Heaven. Did you know that the Chenin Blanc vines at Road 13 on the Golden Mile are some of the oldest Chenin vines in North America? Do enjoy the fun of working your way through the 2016 Sparkling Chenin Blanc and the 2019 Chip Off the Old Block Chenin Blanc. And for those of you who couldn't get to the August 15th Winemaker's Dinner at Road 13, just know that the Fall Wine Festival Dinner with Backyard Farm takes place October the 3rd and again on October the 10th. Road13Vineyards.com. Road 13, it's all about the dirt. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by our friends in the Similkameen Valley, Orofino Vineyards, and Row 14 at Clippers Organic Acres. Whether you visit Orofino in Coston or you shop online, check out their Rieslings. They have five different Rieslings. Chardonnay, a spectacular Cabernet Franc Rosé, Pinot Noir Rosé, and an Orange Skin Contact Muscat. And a couple of words about Row 14 at Clippers. This is food that never lets you forget you're smack dab in the middle of Canada's organic farming capital and that the fire grill runs the show. Even the dry-aged cheeseburger is crowned with crispy charred onions and a hot pink smear of cold-roasted beet ketchup. A warm potato salad on the side is dusted with black onion powder. Alexandra Gill, The Globe and Mail. Orofino is open for tasting, and Row 14 is open 7 days a week, noon to 8 p.m. OrofinoVineyards.com and Row14.ca. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. Thank you for joining us. We've been on the air for some 13 years now, started our life in a studio in a barn on the Naramata Bench. We now come to you from luxurious Nanoose Bay on Vancouver Island. We'll get back to Sandra Oldfield in just a moment. The second half of Tasting Room Radio this week is with an old friend. 2015 was the last time we talked. Jeff Hundredmark had just taken over Stony Ridge, the Bob McGowan Winery in Niagara, was also making the Mike Weir wines for Canada and several other assignments. A couple of years ago, he and his wife Kimberly decided to finally make the move to British Columbia. Kimberly ended up working for Wines of BC, and Jeff Hundredmark ended up at Mount Boucherie, Modest Wines, and Rust Wine Co. He's a busy guy, but his talents are welcomed, and we'll talk to Jeff Hundredmark in the second half this week. But all right, let's get back to Sandra Oldfield on Tasting Room Radio. Sandra Oldfield is our special guest here on Tasting Room Radio, and she is the partner in Elysian Projects. I don't go past the title. I have no idea what that means. It could be a Secret Service thing. I don't know.
No. I'm trying to give wineries a hand up so that they can all be wildly successful.
That's because one of my favorite phrases when I answer the phone and I know who's calling, I will say, Mulco Industries, how may I direct your call? Because like it's, most of these shops are just mom and pop operations. There's one person, there's no team, you know. Tightrope.
Many hats.
Lindsay,
so,
a tightrope.
Tightrope, you know, Lindsay O'Rourke, another unsung female winemaker from BC. She's been, you know, quietly driving their wines for years. And, you know, she has a great background as well, having come from, I think she was from New Zealand as well, educated, I want to say.
Yep.
And she made wine at Ruby Blues before they started Tightrope. So her, you know, her style is pretty non-invasive. Basically, lets the wine speak to the Naramata Bench. And, you know, by far, well, I like their Gris as well. There's a bunch of whites I like there, but they have a pretty good Syrah and a pretty good Merlot that I'm also, turns out, a wine club member at that winery, and so I get access to some of these wines as well.
Wow.
I only belong to like 5 clubs, so I'm fine.
You only 5 clubs? Okay, fine.
I think it's about 5, yeah.
Severine at Le Vieux-Pen.
Well, yeah, Severette Le Vieux-Pen, she's a force to be reckoned with. She, you know, runs... she runs that winery and everything in it. So, you know, not only is she the winemaker, but she is basically the general manager and deals with everything that's thrown at her. I think, you know, her wines are obviously stellar. They take on a really beautiful French style, which is amazing here in the Okanagan. And, you know, I think as a person, she's her heart is always speaking first. And the other thing I really like about Sev is that I sit on the sustainability committee with her, and, you know, she comes at everything from a, you know, such a great scientific background as I do as well. And I really appreciate that.
Okay. Yeah. Cause that's, I mean, wine's all about science, right?
A bit. I mean, it's obviously a great blend, but it helps to know your science. And, you know, I would say that one of their strongest wines for me is the Sauv Blanc. At least that's kind of what I've been drinking this summer is the Le Vieux-Pen Sauv Blanc.
All right, that's your top six. Kitsch,
well,
Niche. Hold on a second.
I
understand. Hold on a second. Here are the six wines you've already talked about. Kitsch, Niche, Therapy, Hillside, Tightrope, Le Vieux-Pen. Now comes the speed round. Are you ready?
Okay.
One Mill Road, Cynthia Enns.
Oh, Cynthia Enns, like, made laughingstock what it is. She never gets enough credit. Now they've started One Mill Road. It's all about one wine, Noir. I just absolutely love the fact that they're just doing one wine.
Okay.
And again, you know, another force to be reckoned with on their Naramata Bench.
Val Tate, 11 Bench, 1775, where she was the winemaker and the general manager, and now is at Two House with the love of her life, Ian, and is consulting at Gold, those growers who, of course, have just acres and acres and acres of juice. So she's going to be busy.
Oh, she's going to be super busy. I mean, she was great at Bench, 1775, but, you know, her roots are definitely with viticulture, and that's where it starts and ends with her. And you know, because of that, she'll always be, I think, a pretty successful person wherever she goes.
I might be wrong in my numbers here, but I asked her how many cases was bench when you got there and when you left. She said, I think we started at 14, we ended up at 40, something like that. Like a ridiculous growth, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can absolutely feel for her. When we started at Tinhorn, my first vintage was 1,000 cases, and when I left, it was 40.
There you go.
40,000. So yeah, I absolutely get that kind of growth curve.
And one more final. Actually, I have two. Venturi Schulze.
Okay.
Marilyn Venturi.
Marilyn Venturi, I've loved her since pretty well the day I came up here. When I moved up here 25 years ago, I drove out to the island to meet her, and that's when I first tasted their balsamic vinegar they were doing and was completely blown away, and that was 25 years ago. You know, they still make the Madeleine Sylvaner, which I think is a great white from, but, you know, Marilyn, she's just a goer. You talk to her, you think she's still like 16 or 17 years old.
and I think the secret is balsamic.
Oh, yeah. It's an unbelievable product. I bought a little bit before COVID, and I think it kept me nice and healthy, just having a little teaspoon of it every once in a while.
And one more, I'm going to throw a ringer at you, but I just love the fact that Penelope Roche is making wines on the Nirmata bench.
Yes. So Penelope, another person that I enjoy hanging around, I also was their first purchaser of their futures for their big red blend that came out. So definitely have a good place in my heart with Roche. Penelope is, you know, I consider her to be a really thoughtful person, a very thoughtful person in the vineyard and in the cellar. And as an owner, again, I think her heart is there with trying to, you know, ensure that her employees are well taken care of. And again, not something that most people judge a wine by, but that's, you know, if you're an insider in the industry like I am, I like to judge wineries by how they treat their fellow employees. So
we have officially run out of time. We would have, had we had time, we would have touched on Sank Attendant and Anne Sperling and Christine Coletta and all of those other women in the business all over British Columbia. And we'll get to that in part two. She is Sandra O'Field. She's a troublemaker, and I love her for it. And you can find her at Elysium Projects, especially if you're a small winery looking for how the road is paved and where the potholes are. Thank you for doing this.
No problem. Thanks so much.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by our friends in the Similkameen Valley, Orofino Vineyards, and Row 14 at Clippers Organic Acres. Whether you visit Orofino in Coston or you shop online, check out their Rieslings. They have 5 different Rieslings. Chardonnay, a spectacular Cabernet Franc Rosé, Pinot Noir Rosé, and an orange skin contact muscat. And a couple of words about Row 14 at Clippers. This is food that never lets you forget you're smack dab in the middle of Canada's organic farming capital, and that the fire grill runs the show. Even the dry-aged cheeseburger is crowned with crispy charred onions and a hot pink smear of cold-roasted beet ketchup. A warm potato salad on the side is dusted with black onion powder. Alexandra Gill, The Globe and Mail. Orofino is open for tasting, and Row 14 is open 7 days a week, noon to 8 p.m. OrofinoVineyards.com and Row14.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. The Unsworth Tasting Room is open Monday, Tuesday, noon to 4, Wednesday to Sunday, 11 to 5, with free delivery on Vancouver Island and the Lower Mainland. And the restaurant is open Wednesday to Sunday, noon to 8 p.m. You can count on the same warm hospitality and fun that Unsworth is known for. And a fresh reminder that the Cowichan Valley Wine Festival is on from August 1st to August 31st. For all the details, go to tastingroomradio.com and click on the Wine Festival ad. Tasting Room Radio, Terry David Mulligan. Jeff Hundredmark is the winemaker at Mont Boucherie and Modest Wines. Strangely enough, in the Okanagan, we first met in Niagara. And remind me, if you were, and welcome to the show. Remind me exactly who you were working for and making wines for in Niagara when I met.
Way back in the day, I was making wines at Mary Nissen estate winery. It was a small family winery down in Niagara Lake.
I had said, are you interested in maybe making wines and checking out British Columbia? And you said, absolutely. And yep. So how did BC show itself? How did Mount Boucherie come along? Where did the offer come from?
Well, I have a very close friend of mine who I went to winemaking school with back in Niagara.
Right.
His name's Jesse Harnden. He was the estate manager or estate sommelier, sorry, for Mission Hill a couple years back. And he got involved in this project with Mount Boucherie and Rust Wine Co. Back about, I guess, 4 years ago. And he gave me a call out of the blue one day and said, you ever think about moving out west? And I said, well, absolutely. And he said, well, I've got an opportunity, you know, maybe down the road. In the meantime, I've got a position that I can maybe get you situated with in the Okanagan, making some wine.
That's a lot of maybes. A lot of maybes.
So there was a lot of maybes that I hung my hat on, convinced Kimberly to pack everything up and move out west with me. And you know, was that a tough sell?
What was the pitch to her?
I had to get her drunk. No. No, you know what? We've both been talking for many years about coming out to the Okanagan because it's, you know, it's just always been a great place to. It's progressive. You know, the marketing is progressive, the wines are progressive, and we really, you know, we really wanted to get ourselves situated out here. Plus, you know, the weather's not too bad either. And so we decided to make that trek out about 10 years prior to when we actually did come out. And every year we'd come out and search the place out and never really found anything that was a real good fit for us. So we just kept on plodding away. And then eventually this call out of the blue from Jesse came. And I thought, you know what, it's time to, you know, to make that chance or take that chance and head out. So we packed up our RV and drove across the country and here we are.
I would never, and I've long since stopped, you know, trying to pit Ontario wines against BC wines. They're completely, they're completely different regions and soils and thinking actually. But as communities, do they feel the same or are they different?
Well, you know what, Terry, that's a hard one because it is different for sure. Like Kimberly grew up in St. Catharines. I grew up and then moved away and then came back. We had real strong roots down in Niagara. And,
sure.
You know, Kimberly was kind of her nickname in our circle. And it was the mayor because she knew everybody and everybody knew her. We couldn't go out anywhere without bumping into somebody we knew.
Yeah.
And coming to Okanagan was a bit of an eye opener for us. It was we didn't know anybody really, and it was tough going for the first bit. I mean, the community itself is great. The community in Niagara was, you know, was literally home for us for pretty much our entire lives. So it's tough to compare the two, but I think the winemaking community, you know, the camaraderie in Niagara was outstanding.
Sure.
The wineries all got along really well. Where here, I think, you know, I'm just starting to get to know some of the characters out here and you know, they're starting to get to know me a bit. So, you know, I think it's going to take a little bit of time to sort of really make our mark, but I think, you know, overall we're pretty happy with the way things are going there.
Jeff Hendrickmark, who is the winemaker at Mount Boucherie Modern Wines, and we'll get to Rust in just a moment. Don't let me forget that one. Now, what I knew about Mount Boucherie was impressive. First of all, they were, at the time that I was there, Graham Pierce was the winemaker, and they had some 300 acres of vines, which was, or at least they had... As growers, 300 acres in the Okanagan, right, which is a big deal, and there was there were just lakes of wine coming in, especially at crush time. When you walked in, did you have the same impression? Had they gotten things under control?
I think really, the 300 acres is our total land holdings. 200 acres is kind of the right now where we're at as far as plantings. We just planted another small 10-acre portion of a 65-acre vineyard in the North Similkameen Valley.
Right.
And when I came in, the winemaker here was Jim Faulkner, and you know, he was literally up to his elbows and eyeballs in wine here. And, you know, I think he welcomed the the help. Yeah. And, you know, he did a great job here many years. I think he's probably here for 7 years or at least anyway. And, when I came in, it was a bit of a different view. The way I wanted to do things was a little bit different. And for whatever reason, Jim moved on and I sort of took over the helm here. And we have really fortunately a really good sales team here, and they're able to move a lot of the product. And that's kind of I can make as much wine as the building will hold. But it's a matter of getting rid of it and selling it.
Yep.
And that's the hardest part, I think, for wineries. And I think in our case, when I came in, it was about 20,000 cases they had pared back to. And now I think we're back up to about 1,000 cases. And, I think our eventual goal down the road is around 60,000 cases, but, we're going to take baby steps to get there.
Okay.
Really do it the right way.
We have a lot of wines to go through. I had the great pleasure of tasting them, and I was extremely impressed. First of all, tell us about Modest Wines. It reads as though it's a chance to experiment a bit and be a handshake opening to the rest of the portfolio.
Yeah, so we opened this brand new facility here just this past spring, and the restaurant on site is called the Modest Butcher, and it's a kind of an ode to the way we do things around here. We like to talk about our wines, and we like to talk about our facility and our vineyards and everything else, but we don't want to boast about it necessarily. So the Modest side of it is what came out of it, and we decided we wanted to do a line of wines that would be featured in the restaurant, but at the same time would kind of give myself and my winemaking team a chance to experiment and have a little bit of fun in the trying different grape varieties that we don't normally do.
Let's give them a speed round here. Number 4, Orange, Gewurz.
That's a Gewurztraminer wine, 100% Gewurztraminer. Spent 122 days on the skins. Very minimal sulfur was used in the making of that wine. It was pretty much bottled straight out of the grape.
How much did you do?
Small amounts, about 70 cases.
Oh, jeez. Price point?
Price point's around $25.
Okay, I love this one here. The Odd Couple, Modest Wines. It's at $19.99, but it's a nice blend. Tell them about the blend.
The blend itself is a real classic blend of Riesling and Merlot.
All right.
We wanted to do something
it's
that was
killer.
Just a little bit wacky.
It's just so good. It's so good.
It's not a rosé like most people think it would be, being that it's a white and a red together. But they were harvested in the vineyard, right. A field blend per se, and then brought in and processed together, fermented as a red wine, and saw no oak, saw no nothing other than just some indigenous yeasts and our fingers crossed.
Little Green Red from Modest Wines, $29.99.
Yeah, 100% Petit Verdot. Comes from a small little block of grapes we have in Soyuz. And just a real tight, beautiful floral version of Petit Verdot.
Big Red called Last Hurrah.
Last Hurrah is our Seigneur version of rosé.
Sure.
And that was the very last vintage of a block of Syrah and Zinfandel we had in the Similkameen. That just was not doing great, but as a block wasn't very healthy. We decided we were going to rip it out, but the last vintage of it, we thought, you know what, we'll have some fun with it and make a rosé out of it.
But I mean, it's 95 Syrah, it's 5% Zin.
Yeah.
How long on skins?
It was Seigneur, so it was about, 14 hours total on skins.
Total. Wow. It's $24.99, by the way. You have to get your mouth around that one. Green Lightning, a Gruner, 100%.
Yeah, Gruner Veltliner. It's a pretty acidic wine. So, you know, it's a green tasting wine with zippy acidity, really fresh. This one was a lot of fun to make. I'd never experienced Gruner back east. It seems to be making a really good mark out here. So I really had fun with that one.
$24.99, by the way. And Elder Vicar from Modest Wines, $19.99. I'll let you do the blend. It's a field blend. Here's what I love about it. Not only is it a field blend, you put the damn words on the label.
It is a 100% field blend. So it is Muscat, 40%, Gewurztraminer, 25%. Riesling 20, and the rest is Pinot Gris. 15%, I think. Yeah.
Now, were they all grown together or crushed together? How did it work?
They were all brought in together. So they come from actually a couple different vineyards, but they were all harvested on the same day. So brought in from the field together. So, you know, as far as this particular field blend, it's kind of a bit of a trick a bit. But it's definitely was all brought in on the same day, all processed together at the same time, and it just turned into a beautiful wine. This is a wine that's our ode to Edelsvicker from Alsace, and that's those are the grape varieties that go into making Edelsvicker.
How hard do I have to look to find that field blend? How many cases?
We made about 400 cases of it. There is approximately 150 left.
I knew this was going to be a longer than average conversation because you have a lot of wines and a lot of story to tell. When we come back, we're going to talk about the White Label Syrah, the PTG, the Gewurz, the Cab from Original Vines, and the Malbec Reserve, and the Summit Blend. Wait until we tell you about the Summit Blend. This is Jeff Hundredmark. He is the winemaker, the very busy winemaker at Mont Boucherie and Modern Wines and Rust Wine Co. And we'll be right back with part two after this. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. The Unsworth Tasting Room is open Monday, Tuesday, noon to 4, Wednesday to Sunday, 11 to 5, with free delivery on Vancouver Island and the Lower Mainland. And the restaurant is open Wednesday to Sunday, noon to 8 p.m. You can count on the same warm hospitality and fun that Unsworth is known for. And a fresh reminder that the Cowichan Valley Wine Festival is on from August 1st to August 31st. For all the details, go to tastingroomradio.com and click on the Wine Festival ad. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. I wrote Jason Parks and asked what's going on at The Hatch. He said, well, we bought a food truck, smoked barbecue, for people to pair ribs with Pinot. And I said, so what about the Pinot? He said, well, we pour Pinot from 15, 16, and 17, all East Kelowna fruit, all of the same vineyard, so people can understand the aging process. The food truck is there from noon to 6. We have no name for it, so we're going to call it Meatheads. And the head meathead is Ryan, the chef. And the new home of Black Swift is open from 11 to 6. All the details at thehatchwines.com. Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. A two-part interview with Jeff Hundredmark, now firmly planted in the Okanagan and made it a better place just by being here because he's that good. Rust Wine Co., Mont Boucherie, Modest Wines, and other projects I'm sure we'll find out about. So we went through Modest Wines, and I really like the brand, and I love the Bravo there. I really like your sticking your toe in it and really getting at it. So now we get to the white label. Tell me about the white label and the Syrah that's in it.
Yeah, so our white label series is kind of our entry into wine in our winery. Mm-hmm. It's basically, I think it's around, let's say, $28 a bottle. It probably, in my opinion, should be probably closer to $35 or $40 a bottle.
So it's a Syrah. It's a Mont Boucherie white label, $27.99. How many cases?
We made about 500 cases.
Well done. Okay. There's your steal right there. That's fantastic. People are always saying, find me a $35 wine for $25. That's it right there, the Syrah white label. Wonderful.
Perfect.
Tell me about the PTG, and it says it's Original Vines.
Yeah, so we have another new line of wines this year called the Original Vines series, which is all of our older blocks of vines. So we have vines that are planted back to Christ, the early 70s.
Right.
And this particular blend is all coming from the Similkameen Valley.
Right.
It's a field blend as well, which means that it's all the grapes actually grew within about, let's say, about a 1 acre block.
Wow.
And they were all brought in together. So we have Pinot Noir, 44%, Gamay, 44%, and Pinot Gris,
yeah,
12%. And this is a kind of a traditional PTG, so Passe du Grain from Burgundy. And the original vine series is, like I said, is our oldest block. So I think the average block of or age of this block is around 1988.
Fantastic.
The plantings, yeah.
Wow. It's $29.99. It's a field blend. It's a field blend, friends. Field blend. Something I've been talking about for the last 2 years. I just think it's time for field blends in the Okanagan, and I'm shot down left, right, and center. I still believe in it. I also believe in Gamay. I think Gamay is going to lead the way for the next generation of winemakers. I think we're just ripe for Gamay. Anyway, I applaud this. I hope I can find it. I hope the audience can find it.
Oh yeah, we made a good batch of that as well.
The Syrah, by the way, we were talking about is 2018, and the PTG is also 2018. Now, we move on to Original Vines Gewurz. It's sold out. Oh, let's forget about that one.
let's forget about that one.
Okay, all right. But that's how successful it was. Now, the 2018 Cab, Original Vines, $49.99. There was a time when the judges of the National Wine Award said, why are we being asked to judge Cab in Canada? We can't grow Cab in Canada. Apparently we can.
We can. We really can. I mean, I've actually found that Cab Sauv was a real staple in my diet in Niagara with Mary Nissen. They were growing some of the oldest Cabernet Sauvignon vine in Canada. And the grapes that are coming from here, I think were planted in the 90s, 1992, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
They do not have a traditional green character. It's much more ripe, juicy here than Niagara. Cab Sauv has really got a home here, and I hope people plant more of it. Cab Sauv and Cab Franc are real darlings for me.
Where was this growing? How far south?
This one was in the Similkameen as well, so down in Coston.
Yep. You got to have that heat.
And
that,
oh, yeah.
And all that heat bounces off the shale. Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah.
It's actually the hardest part of it is just getting it in the ground. they keep breaking.
And getting to stay.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. $49.99. How many cases of the Cab?
Cab, so we made about 250 cases.
Way to go. The 2017 Malbec Reserve is $49.99, but it's a Malbec Reserve.
It is beautiful. Malbec is a grape that I don't think gets enough respect. It's starting to gain a lot more momentum for us and for the industry in BC. Malbec is really kind of the ugly stepsister a bit, but I think grown on its own or processed on its own, it produces just some beautiful peppery, fruit forward kind of brambly kind of style red, and this one definitely is no exception to that.
And how many cases?
It was a small lot. It was about 100.
Damn you! Just when we think we've discovered something, you pull us in. Okay.
Yeah.
And finally, we come to just an astonishing wine, the 2017 Summit Reserve. At $59.99. So that's a $60 bottle. But hang in and listen to what's inside the bottle. Away you go, Jeff.
So this is our take on a traditional Bordeaux blend. I think it's kind of more the Okanagan blend, to be honest with you. Heavy in Merlot, 43%. Cabernet Franc, 28%. Cabernet Sauvignon, 20%.
Mm-hmm.
Malbec, 2%. And then we also throw in a little bit of Syrah. There's 7% Syrah in there. And I think Syrah is really the key to the British Columbia Bordeaux blend. It adds that pepperiness and that tobacco kind of cedar. And it's absolutely beautiful.
It's heaven. As good as it is on the nose, It is sensational in the mouth, and there's beautiful texture. It's everything you want a wine like this to be. 12 months aged separately, 12 months aged as a blend. I mean, friends.
Yeah, we do that. We do that wine all as individual parts for a full year. And then we pick the best barrels that we want to go in this blend, blend them all together, and then give them another year in barrel together. So they get a company with their comfortable in their surroundings.
And how many cases of that Summit?
This one is a big blend. We do about 1,000 cases.
Oh, man, pay the bills. Oh, yeah, my God. Put in a swimming pool. Oh, my God, that's great. That's
it
fantastic.
Flies off the shelf. And we do it in multiple sizes, too. Everything from a 375 all the way up to a 3-liter bottle.
This is an iconic wine. It's a blend. Mm. That's why it's $60, friends. 43 Merlot, Cab Franc, Cab Sav, Syrah, Malbec. Wicked, wicked good. Have I made my point? Now, I know, Jeff Undermark, you're working hard. I know it's a full day every day. But are you having fun at this?
You know what? I cannot pick a better industry to be in, to be honest with you. I love it here. I love making wine. I love getting my hands dirty. I do a little bit less of the cleaning these days. I seem to have a really good team that likes to do that. So I'm loving it even more.
And how about you and Rust Wine Co?
Yeah. So Rust Wine Co is another winery in our portfolio, down in the Golden Mile, down in Oliver.
Right.
And so I was the original winemaker, well, not the original, but I was the winemaker last year for Rust. That was my main goal.
Sure.
And then this year I've hired on a new winemaker, new to the region as well, another cohort from Niagara, Ryan DeWitt's his name. And he's taken over the helm at Rust for, stylistically anyway, for the 2019 vintage. Mm-hmm. And he's doing a bang-up job, that's for sure.
Okay, I want to go back to this list for a second because this could go on for hours. I want to tell you just because you sent me these wines and I tasted them, took my time tasting them. I just want to tell you the ones that really stopped me dead. The first one was the Little Green Red, the Petit Verdot. Petit Verdot, 100% Petit Verdot. I just went crazy for it. It was very, very good. I like the Gruner. I like the two field blends. I was very impressed with the field blends, the Elder Vicar and the PTG.
Yeah.
I had the Cab last night. It was sensational. But the Summit killed me. Absolutely. I applaud you, a standing room only applause with a face mask on, because this is really good winemaking. And you just to have that fruit to play with and do it the way you wanted to do it, it shows off the skills that people obviously saw in you. So all of this aside, my friend, do you see yourself actually making your own, having enough fruit and time to make your own wine down the road?
You mean my own, like, my own label?
Yeah, the Jeffy label.
Yeah, so I mean, I did that in Niagara. I did the 100 Marks label, 100
That's right.
Marks.
That's why I'm asking.
And and there's always that on the back burner. They keep bugging me to actually do it. And I'm trying to find the time with all the other wines we're making at the moment. But I think that's probably in the pipes, probably within a vintage or two.
Okay.
We'll start to throw a few samples of the 100 Marks.
Did you learn your websites?
Rustwine.com, modestwines.com, mountboucherie.com.
Well done. Well done.
Oh, and it's actually MT Boucherie, not MOUNT.
Yeah. MT Boucherie. MT Boucherie. Yeah. Mount Boo. Thank you for this.
Thanks, Terry. It was a lot of fun.
I'm so glad you found that fruit and they found you. And
yeah.
Congratulations on the wines you're making.
Thank you so much.
He is Jeff Hundredmark, the winemaker at Mount Boucherie. Modest Wines is overseeing the wines coming out of Rust Wine Co. and whatever else is coming down the way. We'll see. The Jeffy Boutique wine coming, perhaps. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. I wrote Jason Parks and asked what's going on at The Hatch. He said, well, we bought a food truck. smoked barbecue, for people to pair ribs with Pinot. And I said, so what about the Pinot? He said, well, we pour Pinot from 15, 16, and 17, all East Kelowna fruit, all of the same vineyard, so people can understand the aging process. The food truck is there from noon to 6. We have no name for it, so we're going to call it Meatheads. And the head meathead is Ryan, the chef. And the new home of Black Swift is open from 11 to 6. All the details at thehatchwines.com.